So while this is loading, my name is Ben Cook. I'm a senior researcher at Center for Multicultural Mental Health Research in the Department of Psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. And this is a paper that I'm working on with Tom McGuire, who's at the Department of Healthcare Policy at Harvard Medical School, Andy Vesper, who's our statistician in training and statistician on this paper, and Nick Carson, who's a child psychiatrist, and Sam Zuvikas, who's working at the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality and has been instrumental in helping us through this complicated data set, as you'll see. So this is about assessing differences among racial and ethnic groups in episodes of mental health care, and as you'll see, a lot of the things that Dr. Becker brought up will come out in this. This is a nice compliment. If I could move the slides. So no financial conflicts to disclose. I'd like to acknowledge funding for an R01 from NIMH that I'm the PI on, called Understanding Mechanisms of Disparities. So many of you know this. The information on this slide: racial and ethnic disparities in mental health care. They've persisted over time. They're quite stubborn despite a lot of resources going into dealing with racial and ethnic disparities in mental health care. And there's some evidence or some suggestion that these service disparities may actually cause greater persistence in severity of mental health disorder. So that's sort of, the disparities in service are one thing, but problems with severity, problems with persistence of mental illness are really what we're trying to decrease. And then you'll see that we thought a little bit about where minorities and whites receive care. And there's some evidence in the previous literature that show that minorities are more likely to receive their mental health care at a primary care provider, but little is known what happens after they see the primary care provider. And we have a little bit of data that will show that. So similar to Dr. Becker's work, we're evaluating episodes of care. We have a nationally representative data set, and typically with nationally representative data sets, we've looked at cross-sections. But this MEPS data set, the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey data, which I'll describe a little bit more in a second, has two-year panels, and we can get some longitudinal data from those 2 years. And we think that this improves our understanding of the drivers of disparities. So there's some new information that we can get from these episode analyses. We can actually look at the behaviors, the initiation behaviors, the discontinuity behaviors. We can identify adequate care within episodes of care rather than just sort of across 1 year. The timing isn't arbitrary. We can actually look at episodes of care. We can address confounding due to timing of mental health in cross-sectional studies. It's difficult to see whether the mental health was improved by the mental health care, and that's the reason why the mental health is good. But in longitudinal data, we can look kind of pre-mental health care at their mental health and then post-mental health care after we look at the episode. So that's another helpful thing about the longitudinal data. And then we can look at patterns of care leading to emergency room and inpatient use as well. So what we're hoping to do is aggregate episodes of this nationally representative sample. So we're hoping that some of the pictures that I'll show you will help us identify disparities in mental health care, help us identify some of the mechanisms underlying those disparities. We'll run some regressions to see what the significant predictors of initiation and adequacy of care are. We'll look at disparities in initiation, intensity, and adequacy of these episodes. And then we'll identify how ER use differs by location of initiation of care. So we'll compare those who initiated with a primary care provider versus those who initiated with specialist providers. We think of an episode in similar ways. This is as the Medicaid data that Dr. Becker presented. This is a span of time where a patient continually uses mental health services without a significant time lapse. We actually use a 3-month time lapse as an end of an episode. Outpatient or office-based mental health care or psychotropic medication that persists without interruption of 12 weeks or greater. Our definition of adequate care, this is a really minimally adequate care definition. We're just looking at whether they had 8 or more mental health care visits or 4 or more visits with a psychotropic drug prescription. So this is really minimal compared to the evidence-based guidelines that Dr. Becker presented. So here's something that we can get from the MEPS. This is just a hypothetical example of what the 2-year longitudinal data gives us. We have to think quite a bit about left and right censoring, obviously, unlike Medicaid data where you can see someone track someone back years and years. Here we just have those two-year episodes, so we're quite concerned with left censoring and right censoring. But typically what we'll do is think of initiation, like this individual, let's say that we're tracking an individual over that two-year period of time. That person in this hypothetical example will have two episodes. They've initiated, there's a three-month or greater break, and then they get another episode. So that individual, each of those episodes will weight by half when we now weight up to the nationally representative population. And there are some funny things that occur in the data. So we're really interested in that initiation behavior. Well, if someone's right has a visit right in the beginning of the data, in month one, then we don't know when they initiated. And so we think of them as sort of left censored. So we exclude some of these unusual individuals, hoping that other previous panels that we have 5 2-year panels, will pick up when they actually initiated care. So there end up being some quirky things in the data that we have to do some sensitivity tests for. This is three people, just again to give you a flavor of what kind of data we have. So this is the white median. At the median, these are people who have had any mental health care. The white person at the median was a male. They spent $4,349 in their mental health care episode. And you can see they kind of bounced back and forth between prescription fills, that's on the bottom row there for that individual, and then went up and had some office-based visits, some more prescription fills, one more office-based visit, and then from what you can't see there, but it's November 2007 all the way to December, so that last year they didn't have any office-based visits, but continued to fill their antidepressant medication. The black male at the median has something similar. They sort of bounce back and forth. The Latino female at the median was had nothing until November 7th when they had an ER visit that incentivized them or initiated their office-based visits. They had no prescription drugs. So these are sort of three examples. If I just grabbed the three individuals that were at the medians for these three different racial and ethnic groups, and you can start to see some patterns of care. Of course, this isn't representative, and so we're trying to aggregate. Let's aggregate the three racial ethnic groups in order to try and identify some of those representative patterns. But this gives you an idea of what we mean by the episode. This is actually the one individual with the greatest mental health care expenditure, and you can see the great variety of types of visits that they had, the number of prescription fills, the number of ER visits and inpatient visits. This person had some serious comorbid physical illnesses and was a single Asian 17-year-old female, which is unlikely given the low percentages of that population in our data. So we measure disparities, and I could talk more about this later, but we measure disparities in our final models by using this definition of racial and ethnic disparities. And we've been trying to promote this sort of grounded way of measuring racial and ethnic disparities in healthcare in general. The Institute of Medicine in 2002 put out Unequal Treatment, which many of you know about, which showed that there were large healthcare disparities in our system. And it came up for the first time a sort of conceptually grounded definition of what a disparity is. And what they said was that disparities are not just differences. So if you look at differences in rates across groups, that's sort of an unadjusted difference. But that might not be a disparity. What was new about this group's definition was that they said, if there are differences due to clinical need and appropriateness, if there are differences due to the patient preferences, that those differences shouldn't count as part of the disparity. But if healthcare systems and legal regulatory systems are providing poor care to low-income groups, to lower education groups, that type of difference should be counted as a disparity. So they were saying that we should adjust for some things and balance them by racial and ethnic group, but not adjust for other things. And that creates this sort of middle road adjustment that we have to do, decomposing the difference into different patterns in order to develop a disparity. And that's what we've done to determine the disparity in this paper. So this is five 10, 11, 4 panels of the medical expenditure panel surveys spanning 5 years. These are adults. We just subsampled those who have what we think of as probable mental health disorder. They have a PHQ-2 greater than 2, which is quite sensitive and specific for major depressive disorder. K-6 greater than or equal to 13, which shows severe psychological impairment. So we focused on 4 dependent variables, as you'll see: initiation of mental health care, intensity of care, and we use numbers of days, numbers of visits, and expenditures. Adequate episode of care, again using this minimally adequate definition. And then we look at ER use after primary care and specialty initiation. To implement the Institute of Medicine definition, we've split the variables into those that we think we need to adjust for, that relate to clinical appropriateness and need. And those are mental health status variables, or comorbid physical health conditions, sex and age. And then others that we think are non-allowable differences, or sort of unjustifiable differences according to the IOM. And these we will count toward the disparity. And you'll see these are covariates in our models: education, income, region, insurance status, HMO participation, urban rural residents, and the panel we use as a dummy indicator also. To implement the Institute of Medicine definition, which again is this sort of adjusting for some variables but not others, we fit a model, we try and get the model right, we use all the variables that we have at our disposal. We use a LOGIT for the initiation and adequacy, we use a two-part model for visits and days per episode, given this big density of our data at one visit or one day, we've used the two-part model. We've used some censoring techniques, just using log normal parametric survival models to account for right censoring. Once we get the model right, then we adjust the distributions of need variables. We've come up with a rank and replace method that we use to make whites and racial and ethnic minorities look the same on those clinical appropriateness and need variables. And then we compare this group, that's a minority group, with white health status, white need variables, with this counterfactual minority population that has white health status, minority SES, and race, and we compare that to a factual white population. So that's how we implement the IOM. There's a few papers that we've developed that talk more about that, and I can discuss that more later. So this is, we need a graphic designer. So we're trying to get there's a lot of information in these pictures, and we're trying to figure out a good way to represent this graphically. But these are a way of pictorially representing the episodes that we have in our data. Okay, next. And let me point out a few things. So this is our overall sample. These thermometers, we're calling them, are summary measures of our episode data. The size of that circle gives you an indication of the percentage of whites, in this case, that initiate mental health care. And if we compare that across groups, you can see that whites initiate more than blacks and initiate more than Hispanics. So that's one summary measure. This is a length of episode measure. And here it's hard to see, but these are days kind of up the y-axis. And you can see that there's not much difference in the length of episodes across the racial and ethnic group. So those are our summary measures. We wanted to capture how people bounce back and forth between office space, inpatient, prescription drugs, ER. And we've done that by coloring those people who bounce back and forth as green and those people who stay within one of the types of service as brown. So one thing you'll notice here is that the African Americans seem to have more ER visits. It's a little bit hard to tell, but they're a little more dense. This is the ER. Oh my gosh, sorry. Overzealous. So you can see that there's kind of a greater density of ER visits for blacks. We highlight termination of care, termination of episodes with an X. One thing you can see in this incredibly complicated picture is that there are more of these X's. So Hispanics are more likely than whites and African Americans to terminate their care at the ER. And that was a big deal for us. So we wanted to look at these pictures and see if there was new things that came up about episodes. We knew whites were going to initiate more, and I think we found that with this thermometer. But we didn't know kind of what was going on with the patterns of care, and we thought we might find some new things. And the one new thing we found was that Latinos are really terminating their care at the ER, which we think is a real problem clinically and policy-wise. The second thing we found is that, this is a little bit harder to see, but prescription drug use only was greater for whites than blacks and Latinos. So that's this thermostat, that their probability of only having antidepressants or only having anti-anxiety drugs was greater than blacks and Hispanics. And you can tell that from kind of the width of this also. So those were two findings that we really wanted the pictures to show us something new, and I think those two findings were two things that we did find. So then we kind of go back and we think about the usual variables that we usually typically think about. Blacks and Hispanics, there were disparities in initiation. We found that. Adequate care, we found disparities in adequate care given the... This should be a negative 0.43. We found disparities in adequate care and initiation. Moving to the episode characteristics adjusting for need. This is initiation of care for white, blacks, Latinos. I think we did that in the last, sorry. So no disparities given initiation. And I think we've seen that in cross-sectional data before, that usually across the population there are disparities in any mental health care, but once you get in, there are very few disparities. And we found that similarly in this longitudinal data. We found some really interesting results looking at ER use. Among those initiating with a primary care provider, you can see it kind of across the board, a quarter of them were going to the ER, and much higher than those who initiated with specialists. So there seems to be something going on with those initiating with primary care providers. The kind of follow-up that they have is different than those who initiate with specialists. And then you saw that Latinos who initiate with specialists actually had a significant difference from whites in their amount of ER use. I'm going to blow through these. I'm running out of time. Whites in treatment are more likely than minorities in treatment to only have psychotropic drug therapy without office visits, and I think that came up in Dr. Becker's work about the lack of psychotherapy. Minorities are more likely to terminate a mental health care episode at the ER. There are significant disparities in initiation adequacy. Blacks and Latinos are more likely to initiate care with PCPs. And then we saw that those who initiate with PCPs are more likely to have ER use. We can get that sort of mediated disparity through there. Latinos initiating with specialists are more likely to have ER use. As we've seen in lots of other studies, there are big disparities in getting those who need care into treatment. And that requires further policy attention. We have to go after that seemingly intractable disparity. And then ER use kind of came up in a lot of our investigation a number of different ways. There's disparities in termination of the episode at the ER. So that seems like there's something going on with African Americans, and particularly with Latinos, after that ER visit. What happens after that ER visit? How are they scheduling follow-up? And ER use seems to be greater among those initiating with a PCP. That suggests there's sort of less monitoring, less checking in by the primary care provider compared to a specialist, which you might expect. And then ER use was greater among Latinos and whites initiating with specialists, which makes us think that even with specialists, Latinos are having trouble with communication and that follow-up. And there may be some cultural and communication barriers. Okay, thank you.